December 6th Transportation Committee, good to see a new face on the committee. Chief, you probably know more about this than, I mean, we got a chief and an engineer, so Brenda and I will just, we'll just listen. But it's good to have y'all here, good to see everybody, and we look forward to a great month in the town of Mount Pleasant. Don't forget the Christmas parade is Sunday. Speaking of traffic and transportation, our agenda has been published. Item number 2 is approval of the minutes from the July 6, 2021 meeting.
Move for approval.
Have a motion to approve in a second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the minutes are approved. Item number 3 is public comments. If you would like to make a public comment, please come forward, give your name and address, and we do have a 2-minute limit. If someone will keep the clock.
Good afternoon. My name is Reverend Richard Grant, 445 Isaac Boston Street in the Snowden community. To the mayor and town council, I'd like to speak to you about the traffic being detoured through the Snowden community whenever you have an accident on Long Point Road. And what I'm saying to y'all, whenever that traffic is detoured, I call for an officer. Sometime they come and sometime they don't. I've called and I walked down to the corner by the Baptist church where they detoured the traffic. And I said to one officer, I said, you need someone in the community. His word was to me, tell the chief to get us some more officers. I thought it was a smart remark. I didn't follow it up. I went on back. Time after time, the traffic is being detoured through this community. And if one of these kids get killed or hurt, I'm sorry, it's too late. The people don't have no consideration for the kids. We have 6 bus stops for the school kids to stop. And they come through speeding, time after time after time. Sometimes I ride my bicycle, and sometimes I drive my car. There's 60 feet from the barbershop to a stop sign. One young man was in such a hurry, he wanted to pass within 60 feet. The parents are running late to pick up the kids from Bell Hall School, and they're speeding. We have speed limit sign in front of the community at 20 miles an hour. And believe you me, they're coming through, they're doing 25 and 30. How do you know? I'm on the road every day from Walter Berta, Latson, Somerville, you name it. And I know the speed, and it is ridiculous. Dominion is doing some work in the community right now. The bus has stopped to put off the kids, and this bus driver had to blow their horn. This man had to stop in between. His truck was stopped in between the stop sign in the back of the bus. Thank God that the driver held the door closed until that driver stopped.
Thank you, sir.
We're concerned about the traffic that's coming through the community, speeding time after time. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, please.
And out for the committee members, if you would mind giving me each one of them.
Thank you, Gabby. While they're being passed out, I'll introduce myself. My name is Chris Coleman. I'm at 118 Pitt Street. I'm back on a matter that has been sitting since March of 2020. And that matter was a matter where a encroachment permit was brought before you to build the dock across town lands for 101 Mary Street. At that time, a nice little old grandmotherly lady by the name of Molly Fair showed up with a circus, basically, convinced you all that this was all about her family, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So guess what? I gave you comments and I said, he's doing this for the money. He's a financier in New York City. He's never coming back here. So he's trying to raise the value of his property. Well, guess what? That's what he did. So if you have in your package the encroachment permit and the ad from August of 2020, August of 2021, showing that he's bragging about having these dock permits. He never built it. He was sitting there sitting on them. So I'm asking you to look at this. You were not told the truth.
Next.
Good morning, afternoon now. My name is Joseph Wren, 948 Center. I have the pleasure of serving as vice chair of the Lucy Beckham School Improvement Council. And we sent a packet, I think, from the board about, you know, looking at traffic patterns and especially drop-off times. And I think the mayor was kind enough to come and look at it. It's much appreciated. And I'm here on behalf of the committee just to kind of continue that conversation. As you know, that we have three classes at Beckham now. We'll be adding the fourth one next year. And so now we feel it's a good opportunity to look at best practices for the town. And we know it's a state road and all the issues that kind of come along with that and so forth too. Currently, our school resource officer directs traffic out on Whipple Road at DeGress. And, you know, as a parent and, you know, especially in light of the recent developments with some of the things going on in schools, we really feel important. It might not be the best use for a school resource officer to be outside directing traffic instead of in the halls at dismissal time and so forth, too. But that is where we are now. We also have Patrick Downs, who's on the committee, who's the CEO of East Cooper Hospital. And he relayed to us that the majority of ambulances actually access from Mathis Ferry Road through via the school. So it is a more of a community and safety issue and so forth too. We meet every first Thursday of every month. More than happy to come here and meet with anyone that needs to be. We just want to try to continue the conversation as we go forward, especially before we get the fourth year in our full capacity. Thanks.
Thanks, Joseph, and thank you for all you've done for the town and your volunteer capacity as well. Any others for public comment? Going once. All right. Thank you all very much. This moves us to item number four, which is review of major town transportation projects. Brad?
Good afternoon, committee. Councilman Ritchie, a little bit different for me. Good to be here. It's been a while since we've had a meeting. So I'm going to ask Paul to come up and run through our four major projects. Of course, we can answer any questions about other projects, but I want to cover the four primary that we have ongoing.
Okay.
Next slide. Like Brad said, it's been a few months since we met, but we've made some very good progress since July or August, and we have some good news to report. On the Patriots Point Gateway intersection improvements, we received bids for that project, and they were all within budget, and we received, go to the next slide, and the next slide. We received very competitive bids. Low bid was $5,444,000 for the roadway portion of the contract, and the next bidder was only 3.5% higher than that, and the other bidder was about 16% higher. So we did receive really good bids, and we're very happy with that. Procurement and finance helped us with that. We got the bids out. We answered questions. We do all of our bidding on Bonfire now, which makes the bidding process so much easier. So the contract that we will enter into with TruLuck has a six-month utility window where if we start construction in January, the first 6 months will be to relocate utilities. We talked a little bit about that in July and August. And then the contractor will begin his roadway work approximately in June for an additional 12 months of construction. So we're looking forward to get that one underway.
Mr. Chairman, sure. If I could just add, I happen to be on the Bids and Purchases Committee, and at that committee meeting this morning, committee approved the bids for this project, so be underway very shortly.
Good. Good to hear. Yeah. One question I would have, I noticed from the timing standpoint, It's possible that the road portion could be beginning during the summer, though, right? During the high tourist season?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
I hope they take, I know we don't micromanage contracts here, but I hope they'll take into consideration that it is the highest tourist season and try to mitigate the complications as much as possible.
Yes, sir. That is a good, important point. And plus, that's a high capacity location, especially with the speeds coming off the ramp from the Ravenel at 40 miles an hour. And then they enter our work zone. But we do have a traffic shift where we can keep the roadway open, just like we did when we did Coleman. And I guess then the contractor also has the option of working at night.
Right.
But during the daytime, all lanes of traffic will be open for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. All right. So that's that one.
Good news on the Billy Swales project. We are finished with NEPA. We've gotten... Is this Billy Swales? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten through the NEPA process. The environmental document has been approved. It has been published on our website for public view. After it's been up there for 2 weeks, we're allowed to schedule the final public hearing on the project, which we will do in January. You want to go back to that?
You want to go back to Billy Swales?
Yes, I think I have a couple of bullet points. Here we go. Let's see. After the public hearing, we'll begin the right-of-way plan development process. And once that gets approved, we'll be able to start property acquisition for that project. We are currently working on a timeline for it. We have a tentative or an approximate timeline, but we will meet with the consultant in SCDOT to help hammer out a fast path forward to get that project completed.
Mayor, I'd just add to that that the approval of the environmental document is a significant step for the town. It was a bit delayed in the fact that we had some other reviews that go on with the recreational property, but that actually went faster than we thought, and so we're a little bit ahead of where we thought we were, but this next schedule you'll get next month will kind of lay it out with the rest of the milestones.
Okay. Any questions? Committee? All right, next.
And then the US 17, the Rifle Range Road Connector Project, some good news on that project. We're currently out for bid for construction. Bids open in January. We expect construction to begin sometime around March. Right-of-way acquisition is ongoing. While the project is out for bid and while we're waiting to have a notice to proceed, we have a few months to complete a few items, namely completing right-of-way acquisition, acquiring the Corps of Engineers permit and the SCDOT permit. So we did bid this one a little bit ahead of ourselves, but we have time to complete those remaining items. And we look forward to going to construction on that project in March.
Any questions? Is there any doubt or possible delay on those two permits? We're dealing with two bureaucratic behemoths there.
There's no issue with the SCDOT permit. There was just a minor comment regarding the turn radius at Highway 17. The core permit, we are waiting on that. There's been some lawsuits and some folks unable to make decisions at the Corps of Engineers based on the law and how the permit was approved and when it was approved, but it's ready to be approved. We're just waiting on the signature. Right. So we think that'll come by March. If not, we will certainly let this committee know so that we could get some assistance with that.
At what echelon do they sign this type permit? Is this out of Atlanta or is this local?
This will be out of Charleston.
Out of Charles.
But to work with those folks, you sometimes have to call a congressman.
Right.
Or a U.S. senator to shake that loose.
Right. This one's somewhat held up. We won't go into all the details, but there was there's some challenge to the nationwide permits, how they were issued, and it's really more or less, I think, related to reservation land.
During the Trump administration, they came up with some proposals to speed up the permitting process. And that has been challenged, and those rules are still in effect in the Biden administration, expedited reviews and things of that nature that typically help development, but that new rule is being challenged in Northern California by a tribe.
Okay.
So no one can seem to make a decision on
how to proceed.
Right. Resident.
Right. Okay. Makes sense. Any questions? All right. One more big one.
Yeah, this is a pretty good one too. This is the final project I'll talk about today. This is the improvements to Hobclaw Bluff Drive and Wando Park Boulevard on Long Point Road. The impetus of this project is to eliminate the split phase from the signal on the side streets. That requires a good bit of construction. Daniel Williamson has been working on this project. Let me move to the next slide.
I'm sorry.
We will, the plans are complete. We will advertise construction in January, and construction is scheduled to start in March.
And everything got worked out with the neighborhood about the sign and the entrance and the landscaping and all that?
Yes, sir.
So none of that's changed?
No, sir.
Because I know y'all are working real steadily with them.
We're just still working on a couple of right-of-way acquisition parcels and trying to get Dominion to relocate a transmission tower.
You know,
all to remove the split phase.
Committee, the good news is we're making progress
are.
And we got things funded. The bad news is the dreaded orange cones will be all over the place.
Yes, sir.
Somebody took a Palmetto moon, our state logo with the moon, and instead of the palmetto tree, there's the orange traffic cone. And, you know, but that's where we are. We're having to build and improve our transportation, so we're doing it. Anything on those? As we're talking about these projects, before we move on to signaling, I just wanted to mention that I know it wasn't our department that was running it, but the big thing over at the Jones Center back in October, late October, about 5/26, I don't know who all went, but when I got there, shortly after 5, I can't remember if it ran from 4 to 6 or 5 to 7. I think it ran from 5 to 7. Mm-hmm. There were literally hundreds of people there. And Amy Livingston, who used to work with us, said that all the handouts and all the brochures and all the big info that was supposed to last for 3 meetings was gone in the first meeting. And there's an update on this that we got at the Regional Development Alliance meeting on last Wednesday. And I can't give you all the lingo and the acronyms and all that, but the spur from 5/26 into the terminal, the Wando terminal, is on a faster track than anything else. And that was the one thing that all the residents over there really want to see. In talking with state ports, and Brad, we may need to follow up, and I know it's not our project, but it certainly is going to affect us. The port was not as aware of it, apparently, as everybody who was at that meeting the other night. And the port's concern is they've invested millions and millions of dollars in their big front gate on Long Point. And how is this spur going to use that, or are they in for, you know, a big shift in where their entrance is? So it's something to think about and be aware of.
Right.
But getting trucks off Long Point Road as much as possible would be great for Mount Pleasant. So I will get y'all all this. It's not our project, of course, but it's something to know. So plus all the stuff on the interstates in South Carolina that's being done. All right. Is that it on the town major transportation projects?
Yes, sir.
Any other questions? All right.
Mayor, yes, sir. If I could just bring up, I know we had someone speaking concerning Lucy Beckham.
Right.
And I know our traffic department, transportation department, is working on plans with the school. So just for further knowledge, that's underway, and we're already trying to work with them on finding a solution.
And I think that'll probably get more discussion in this part as well, because it has to do more with signaling and all than it does with infrastructure. So,
yes, sir.
All right, so let's move on to that item of our agenda, number 5. performance on traffic signaling. And I will say one thing, yesterday, this light over here that I know y'all hear a lot about, the one at the intersection of Houston Northcutt, Mathis Ferry, and Johnny Dodge, coming this way. We were sitting there coming off Mathis Ferry this way, and it turned green and two cars got through and it went yellow. And I don't know if it's supposed to do that. I know y'all been trying to educate us on this and y'all made tremendous progress on these things. But I don't know if that's a symptom of what y'all have been trying to detect and fix, or if that's just the way it's supposed to work. But I was the third car, and I took it very personally.
Well, it wasn't on purpose. I can tell you that much. James Aton, Operations Division Chief. Thank you for giving me the opportunity here, Mayor, and other council members here to discuss traffic signals. I've kind of broken out the major corridors that we deal with within the town. Obviously, US 17, Coleman Boulevard, Ben Sawyer, and then Long Point Road are really our three main corridors where we have coordinated signal systems and adaptive coordinated traffic signal systems. So I wanted to touch pretty briefly on some of the issues that we know are out there and exist and we're working to expedite and solve. The first, really, on the US 17 corridor, we have two trouble signals in addition to the one you just mentioned, Mr. Mayor. Brickyard Parkway in Hamlin is one of our higher capacity intersections that we're having detection issues with right now and are waiting, as are other folks in the nation as far as supply chain is concerned, on replacement detection for that. And we've put some measures in effect, some pre-timing to mitigate that as best as possible now that are in place. That's a tough signal there. You have the school, a lot of traffic from there, and then the proximity to the 41 intersection, which is what we'll talk about next for the 17 corridor, really play to make that a difficult area of town. As you well know, there's projects in the works to help solve that. 41 is the other intersection along 17 that we get a lot of calls out about, and it really does deal with capacity concerns on 41 and spillback from that facility that impacts negatively the 17 progression. So those are two of the main intersections on 17 that we're having issues with right now and trying to address. The Coleman Boulevard, Ben Sawyer Boulevard corridor, there's a few intersections along here that we do have issues with and receive calls about. The first one being at the intersection of Simmons Street. There's not necessarily detection issues at this location right now, but there is some issues that we see in the morning and afternoon with the drop-off and pickup of school. And again, that has a lot to deal with the capacity of those turn lanes. You also have a crossing guard at that location, which does sort of create a ripple effect on either of the Coleman approaches to that intersection when they continuously push the pedestrian button, and provides obviously a much needed and warranted crossing for the school kids there. So we do have school timings that are in place to address that and are continuously tweaking that and observing and making sure that it's operating efficiently. The other two intersections that we know we have issues on right now, and they again are detection issues, are the intersections of Mill Street and on Wilden Street. Now those two intersections are again very close to each other, which create some progression constraints within the system, as well as a very high, at least at Mill Street, a very high pedestrian activity, which, you know, takes up a lot of the green time. We did recently implement, I want to say about 4 months ago, a pedestrian lead interval at that intersection and other ones along Coleman Boulevard, which provides a safe sort of all red.
Coleman and Mill, you're talking about?
Coleman, yeah. And Mill, Simmons and Pelzer are the three intersections where we implemented those.
Okay.
Those lead intervals, which provides a 5-second all red time for pedestrians to enter the roadway before the side street is actually released and receives a green. It just allows those pedestrians to get into the roadway. So they're already there when, you know, those left turners or through movements from the side street decide to go, reducing conflict. It's a technique that's implemented nationwide as far as higher pedestrian areas. And then Long Point Road, we really don't get too many calls about Long Point Road. There's no issues out there to report right now. Obviously, we do get an influx weekly of calls of all sorts related to traffic signals, and sort of the standard operating procedure to that is to obviously investigate it, make sure that there's no issues, no malfunctioning equipment, stuck pedestrian push buttons, things like that might be triggering these concerns. And then you know, we do have some constraints as far as trying to service a higher priority need, that sometimes we're just not able to accommodate a request from a citizen for, say, more green time for their side street approach. But we do look at all of the issues reported, and it actually ends up helping us. As many set of eyes on the system definitely, you know, helps us bring to light issues, you know, quicker than just our normal quarterly inspections and us driving and seeing it ourselves. So I'd be happy to entertain any questions about more specific intersections, any more specific case examples you have. And
I was going to ask you about the at Lucy Beckham at Whipple Road there in Mathis Ferry. And I was there in the morning. Some of y'all might have seen it in the afternoon, but it's probably a similar traffic pattern. And it makes sense that, you know, they started with two classes. This year they've got three. Next year there'll be four. So patterns emerge. People learn how to get around the system. I saw a little bit of that. And but it seems like the biggest is keeping traffic flowing so that it's not backing up on the 17 or into the roundabout. Because I know Oceanside was close to Roper, but no high school is this close to a hospital. And that roundabout is just on the other side of the 526 flyover there. So anything we can do to keep that going, you know, Chief, I don't know if we need a traffic officer out there. I asked Anna Dassing how long that takes. She said it would be about 30 minutes twice a day is the big rush hour. So whatever proactive solutions we can come up with, I don't know what they are.
Mayor,
yes.
When Oceanside first came on, we had some concerns. We didn't have that light at Park Boulevard yet. And all it took was just some teamwork with Chief and Eric. And I think we even split the cost, or they gave me a great rate. I think I was getting a traffic officer for like $30 an hour, and it didn't cost that much. I don't see how a traffic signal is going to help that just needs bodies. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure some sort of relationship or help, you know, we can just.
Yeah, the feedback I got, again, this was just anecdotal, was they would prefer a human out there directing than any signaling. As long as that light is what you mentioned about going to at Moultrie, you had like a school timing on there.
Yes, sir. And as was mentioned earlier, staff is going to be working with the CCSD on basically analyzing this particular school traffic ingress egress patterns, and the traffic signal will be a portion of that. We do have school timings in there right now, but it is just a massive influx of release at one period, and you know we're trying to accommodate as best as possible. But through this study that we're gonna work with one of our sub consultants, as we have at other schools, Oceanside and Mount Pleasant Academy, we'll be looking at that intersection, as well as maybe other opportunities for better release patterns.
I wonder when, because that used to be a job of every intern, assistant principal, and principal. I've been directing traffic for 25 years, and now nobody does it anymore. Like, is that illegal or something? Because they used to put a yellow jacket on me, and I'd go out there in the rain, and be like, stop.
Yeah, I believe in my conversations with Michael Redenbach, who's CCSD's facility manager, there's some liability associated with probably that off campus in particular. Yeah. But we'll take a look at some certain, you know, plenty of options to help mitigate this traffic concern.
That sounds good. One that I keep hearing about, and I know it's not our traffic circle, it's the state's, but the one at Long Point and Needle Rush with the two lanes, and a lot of times the people that aren't going into Long Point subdivision are flying through there. I think we had asked the state about some signage and some other stuff, so maybe next month an update on that, what they've done on that. Or, you know, I've said this before, we don't have any problem with our one lane roundabouts. I don't know if the state could ever do that to one. Probably not because of trucks, but I don't know.
Yeah, we'll certainly look into that and provide an update.
Yes, sir.
Question about the move to Lucy Beckham again. If an officer or somebody was put there to direct traffic in that roundabout area we're talking about, how is that going to affect your other lights? So it's like a domino effect. If you push cars through one, you're going to impact it somewhere else. I mean, talk about that a little bit?
Yes, sir. And that's definitely a concern that, you know, we'll investigate through this study. But obviously, the proximity of the roundabout at Hospital Drive, the proximity of the traffic signal at 17, as well as not so much, but up Whipple on at the Indigo Court Snee Farm entrance, are things that we'll look at. But yes, they are very interwoven and interconnected, and have positive and negative impacts when you know, it's like a balloon. If you push it here, it's going to bulge out over here. So there's a balancing act that comes with that will, you know, hopefully in coordination with the school, you know, mitigate.
Thank you.
Another question.
Yes.
So we were talking, and I know we had a public comment about traffic on Long Point. When Boone Hall has those events like they did on Sunday, how much responsibility do we put on them to mitigate some of that? Because they had, I'm sure you heard about it, but it was, there was nobody moving. And I don't even know how you would fix that besides just letting people know, hey, don't use Long Point on Sunday. You're not going to get through. Like, how much are they responsible for that?
Yes, ma'am. So we do coordinate with Boone Hall to the best of our capabilities on all sorts of the events that they have. And I think it was the wine festival this past weekend that was on Sunday that you're mentioning. So there are dynamic message boards that are placed on the major approaches there to just let folks know about it. I know our police department does a good job in communications of tweeting out, you know, through all of our social media campaigns just to let folks know. But I mean, it's definitely, there's a partnership there. That is a good partnership, and you know, we help coordinate with them. I know the police department has helped in the past with traffic control, but there's definitely an open line of communication between us and that organization to help mitigate these things. There's, you know, in this instance, when you have that much traffic, there's only so much that can be done to help, you know, expedite folks off of the roadway and onto that facility. And I think that's where we have historically focused our efforts, is to get people off of Long Point, off of 17, but also letting our other residents know that expect heavy delays when these events occur.
Brendan, I can share with you what goes on inside of Boone Hall. We don't have any control over.
Right.
That was always the issue. The town's police department would direct traffic on the outside roads,
yeah,
where the county or their own parking staff would be handling parking inside. So they really weren't concerned. So to talk about a partnership again, sometimes we have to be a little firmer with,
yes,
what's going on the inside and let people sit so we can let traffic move on our major roadways.
That's what I thought when I looked at it. It just seemed like the people coming out was not an issue. It was
correct
going in.
Yeah.
Yeah. It always is. James, did you mention supply chain holdups? This is going back earlier in your presentation. So are you talking about some of this new equipment or replacement equipment that we had from some of the Hawkeye radar or some of that stuff? We're having trouble getting it here?
Yes, sir. That's what we're hearing from our vendor, Rhythm, who's our adaptive signal control partners that we work with. There's a FLIR radar or FLIR camera that we're looking to replace some of the radar units with. It'd be a little bit more effective, and there are some supply chain issues with that. I mean, the radar is working, and loops are working to the best of our capabilities right now, and serving those purposes. There's, you know, always room for improvement, and we hope that with this system, when it comes in, it'll help you know, address the concerns we're seeing at a couple of these hotspot intersections.
Okay. Others? Any others?
This was great. Thank you.
Y'all got anything else? All right. Appreciate that. We went over Beckham sequencing, Long Point. I don't think we left any out. Brad, anything else?
Yes, sir.
All right. If there is nothing else, that's all that's on our agenda. If there's nothing else before this committee, we will stand adjourned.
Thank you, Mayor.
Mayor, who owns Dairy Creek Road?